evening. Our lives really are shadowed with the deceitfulness of sin, its ugly consequences. There are believers just like yourself and mine in the Bible times and at present who have suffered great things, yet they've allowed the love of God to penetrate their lives. They've overlooked the wrongs of others that have been perpetrated against them, and they have been victorious Christians that serve God no matter what. As I looked at the news today of that church there in Alberta, rather disturbed over what was transpiring. But as I began to think about that, how is this possible in a country that has a constitution and Bill of Rights that protects the freedom of religion? And as I thought and pondered over this situation, I realized that this is a precursor to what Daniel and the three Hebrew boys would endure in their lifetime. These young men endured the wrath of God on their wicked nation, the wicked nation of Judah. And the heathen who had ransacked their country, taking them hostage and captive into a foreign land. And yet, while they were taken, they were God's tools for accomplishing great things. We as believers tonight need to determine now where we will bend, or when the true test comes, where we'll wilt. I wanted to bring an encouraging message from God's word in light of the circumstances we're seeing. In my own heart, I said, Lord, I need encouragement. It is discouraging to see the things that are going on, things that I thought I would never see in this country. And I began to pray, and I said, Lord, I need your encouragement today. And God brought this to pass and did some studies herein. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And this king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And tonight, we as a Christian need to be focused on Christ. Don't let the wrongs of others distract us from our mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in bad situations, we can overcome and be a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think on these truths tonight in light of Daniel's circumstances and in light of the circumstances we're seeing going on in this very country. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this grace. Lord, I thank you that no matter what we're facing in life, no matter what is transpiring, Father, there are those that have gone before us that they have suffered. And Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would help me as I preach your word. Father, that I do it faithfully. Lord, I need your help, your guidance, your thoughts. And Lord, as we think upon this passage of Scripture with respect to these Hebrew boys, that no matter what was issued against them, they stood firm upon the principles of the Word of God, or the Scriptures that they had at that time. And Lord, I pray that that would be the testimony of all of us, that we would stay true to the Word of God. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. We find something here in verses 1 and 2 of Daniel chapter 1. There was a rebellion of Israel, and God's wrath had been foretold for Hezekiah's pride. In Isaiah chapter 39, verses 5 through 7, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. God's wrath is already on Israel. To Hezekiah, Hezekiah, your pride, I'm bringing my judgment on Israel, on Judah. And Israel's evil would end up bringing sorrow. Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Another description of here is what will transpire. God does not deal for long periods of time. Nations have in rebellion to God, governments in rebellion to God. They thumb their nose at God. And God's judgment comes. God's judgment comes on believers as we get lazy and comfortable, and God's judgment comes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 11, Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old. This is 2 Chronicles 36. I was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. Israel's evil would bring God's judgment. Why would God allow this? Well, we find in Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 17, therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. So we find here that the people in Daniel's time there in Judah, God's calling to them, get right with God. Get back to the truths of following God. And time after time after time comes and they rebel. And God says, okay. So then you have a choice servants here. I've entitled this sermon, Leaders Encouraging Conviction. And then you have these choice servants here in verses 3 through 6 of Daniel chapter 1. And we find the high standards with which they chose Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And men that with whom there was no blemish, they were well-favored, they were skillful in all wisdom, very intelligent, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, had the ability to stand in the king's palace and that they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. I mean, these young men were brilliant. And Daniel had a very sad history. One commentator mentions that Daniel had been alive when Josiah cast down the Mount of Olives, the temple which Solomon had erected to Chemosh, the Moabite goddess, and removed all other places of idolatry from the kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah may have been a teacher of Daniel. In the notable periods of Jewish history, these Rechabite dwellers, you will maybe talk about the Rechabites another time, but in tents were the teachers of righteousness. So these were righteous men that said, we will not bow, we will continue to follow God. And certain it is that the young prophet was taught not to eat unclean meats nor drink wine, and that it was the teaching of Jeremiah that such temperance should bless posterity. Daniel consecrated himself in youth to the Rechabite principles. He wouldn't drink wine. He would maintain his purity. And why these boys? Why was it that Nebuchadnezzar would choose these young men? Nebuchadnezzar is another cultural understanding a commentator gives. Nebuchadnezzar desired to adorn his palace with those who were his captives. But those who had no blemishes and well-favored and skillful and brilliant, and the world is ever ready, this commentator states, to make the people of God its servants and to derive light from their knowledge. But it cannot tolerate them if they maintain fidelity to their God in obedience to his word and a holy separation from evil, end quotes, Edward Dennett. And here are these young men. Daniel was thought to maybe even be as young as 14 years old when the king of Babylon took over Jerusalem, slaughtered his relatives, and took him prisoner. The terrible Chaldean cavalry had come before the very city of his fathers, killing his parents, taking him captive into a foreign land. You imagine the horror of the siege. Your very city, your very community is under military control as they're coming to starve you out unless you give up, and they'll take you captive. And Daniel had been captive far from the country of his childhood into an idolatrous land, ignorant of its language, into a house of bondage, for he was one of the royal family. And as we look at our world today and our country today, there are things, walls of rights and constitution and charter bill of rights that have stood as walls of barriers of protection, and yet they're falling. And Daniel would have seen fellow citizens slaughtered, burning of cities. Imagine you were taken, loaded with chains. And yet here is Daniel, who would have lived in the majesty and the grandeur there in Judah. He is thought to have been the grandson of Hezekiah. So he would have had royalty. He would have had all that he could have wanted. Now he had that in Babylon. And yet he's been taken from his family, taken into a land that he doesn't understand, taken into paganism. I mean, just raw paganism. His parents aren't there to hold him to a standard. Now put ourselves here. We're seeing some things go on here in Canada that are disturbing. And it was disturbing to me today. And I said, God, I need your encouragement. One commentator, Margaret Blackstone, she said, could have been believed a short time before the arrival of the Babylonian army that this child, Daniel, hitherto the object of so much love and care, would be so early made acquainted with the most frightful events and the bitterest sorrows of this life. Daniel's being carried captive in the land of Shinar was a fulfillment of the judgment pronounced long before God against his grandfather Hezekiah. In Isaiah 39, these young men would have been made eunuchs for the king. As I began to reflect on if I put myself in their shoes in light of what we're going through now, I mean, I don't know the depths of the sorrow, but just some of the things, the freedoms we still have, some of the luxuries we still have. Imagine your family being taken from you, or you taken from your family, and your family killed. In our mindset, we would have, many of us, would have had an absolute hatred, a bitterness, a ruthlessness for this warring faction of nation that had come against us and stolen my liberties. And not only that, they defile your body, making you a eunuch. No longer able to have children. And yet Daniel, these three other young men, we're going to see some things about their courage and conviction that is absolutely, convicts me. These were exceptional young men of impeccable character. In their life, in their young years, they had made God first. At a young age, imagine 14 years old, taken from your family killed. And you still have the conviction and the courage to do what God wants you to do no matter what. Will you be a leader? Does God mean that much to you? What are you founded on in your Christian faith? Questions I had to ask myself this afternoon. In Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Daniel found favor, and yet he was kidnapped from his own family. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Apostle Paul would go on, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, for to me to live is Christ, the die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know. He says, I don't know if I'm going to die or I'm going to live, but it doesn't matter. I'm already dead in Christ, so that's my gain. That's my possession. And the steadfastness of these young men, verse 7 of Daniel chapter 1, they give their names. Daniel chapter 8, I read that. Daniel chapter 1, verse 9, let me read this for you. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? And shall ye make me endanger my head to the king? Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink, and then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children, which had eaten the portion of the king's meat. And thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel, and understanding in all visions and dreams. They're in a foreign place, and he has the audacity to say to the prince of the eunuchs, I apologize, I can't eat this food. Mom and dad aren't there. Authorities aren't there. The priests, not there. Jeremiah, not there. But Daniel, whose name means God is my judge, Hananiah means Jehovah has been gracious, Mishael means who is like God, and Azariah means Jehovah hath helped. And they would be given the test of Babylonian food when they had an opportunity to compromise and blend in just to survive. But they said, we can't do that. It's against God. And he ordered them, with this prince of the eunuchs, what he thought was best, to make them the most well-favored in the king's court. And the food and wine assigned to the young men was probably very rich and luxurious, rare foods that they couldn't have afforded as servants. And the problem with the king's food and wine had been involved in worship ceremonies to heathen idols, and anyone who ate it had been honoring the idols. Additionally, the Hebrew laws forbid them from pork and other kinds of meat were not to be used when cattle or sheep were killed. The blood was to be carefully drained from them in Hebrew hygiene for their dietary laws. Rules were not followed in Babylon. Daniel felt he would be defiled if he did not keep God's laws. Now, obviously, they would eat the cattle and sheep, but the way that they had been killed would not have been in keeping with the Jewish dietary laws. The word translated to meat refers to delicacies of meat. I mean, they are going to get the best of the best. And the idea here of nourishing has the idea to make greater powerful. I mean, they're going to give you the best food, the best drinks. I mean, you are going to be at like 5-star restaurant every day to make yourself appealing before the king. And you turn that away for a whole bunch of vegetables. Because God mattered more than their stomach. And you contrast the character of these young men. These are young men that have a conviction that is unwavering. I mean, their conviction of these young men, it far surpasses the conviction of many there in Israel and in Judah. You think about Ahab, who had everything, and he goes to Naboth and says, in 1 Kings chapter 21, Naboth, I want your vineyard. And Naboth says, I'm not giving you my family's vineyard. And so Ahab goes and he cries on his bed, and he doesn't eat anything because Naboth wouldn't give him what he wanted. These men are men of conviction. And when there are things that the Word of God, do we live by conviction? Are we leaders in courage and conviction saying, thus saith the Lord, I will not bend? That's what God says, and I'm going to do it. How about Genesis chapter 39 with Joseph, who stayed faithful though others wronged him? When he was lied about, his Potiphar's wife would accuse him of seeking to assault and violate her in an adulterous relationship, with which was a complete falsehood, a lie. And yet Joseph says, I don't care. I'm going to stay faithful to God no matter what. And these four Jewish boys, they kept their eyes focused on the Lord. Look with me at Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. I know they're familiar stories, but when we begin to see things in our world going on in a way that is just mind-boggling, this afternoon I was really pleading with the Lord. I said, God, I need something. Today, I said, Lord, I need your help. And I thought upon these truths, and it encouraged my heart. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, we have a way that we worship God. We can't bend on it. God was real to these three young boys. You will not fully trust God if you don't know you're truly His, which comes with all of the promises. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, particularly verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You have to know that you're God's child, and in doing so, in knowing you're God's child, I'm going to rest in the promises that God is in control. How about Daniel chapter 6? I mean, these are men of unbelievable... Now, Daniel is obviously advanced in age here. He's not a child anymore. But in Daniel chapter 6, verses 3 through 5... Verse 1, I'll give you a little context here. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Now, obviously, you've had a change in power here. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. I mean, the whole country here in Babylon's been taken over, and here is Darius taking over this. And then verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and saith thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And they, verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governor, the princes, the counselors, and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing. It be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Well, obviously, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel says, I'm not going to change my worship. That's how I come to God. Daniel kept the conviction that this is what I'm doing, this is what I ought to do, and he would not budge. See, the only way we can truly maintain that focus is Hebrews chapter 12. It discusses this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. I got to keep my eyes focused on the Lord. And in all of this, with Daniel and the three boys and Joseph, they avoided a woe is me personality. Why me? Why do I have to go through all this hardship? Why is this happening to my people? Why? What we need to do is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God For Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Peace. Have a clear understanding and a testimony, and understand that God is in control. Hebrews 13, 5 through 8. It says there, so that we may, portion of this passage of Scripture, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The other thing is that God also looks at your relationship with others. In Matthew 5, it discusses, if you have aught, make that right. Matthew 5, 38 to 45, not a hatred, but a love for your enemies. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Realize this, that Daniel's character, in spite of absolutely horrific circumstances, he found favor even in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, and Darius. The question we want to ask ourselves is, are we looking at our circumstances of life, how others have wronged you, refusing to allow God or godly principles because of what others have done? Am I a rebel and thinking, I don't deserve this life, I don't deserve this? I understand now that Daniel and these boys had a rough life. But their focus wasn't on what's happening to me, their focus is on what I'm still doing for God, no matter what. And I ask you the question, is God only good when things are well in your life? You see, to these young men, there was a faithfulness of God, my final point this evening. Look with me at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. A powerful, powerful passage. And when I read this, I mean, it brought a joy back to my heart. I was beginning to think about things. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The faithfulness of God, that God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? You might think, wow, everything's going to go well because God is for me. No, not to Daniel and the three boys. Three young men, three adult young men. They were teenagers, but still adults. And here are these men. God is for them. In spite of circumstances, God was still for them, and they found favor. The thing that we need to be reminded of as these men, the courage and conviction, is we can't be a friend of the world. Look with me at James chapter 4. Can I tell you that sorrows my heart as I see what's going on? And I'm originally from the States, and as I see things down there as well, and sorrows my heart. How is this possible? but realize that in the sinfulness and wickedness of man's heart, anything is possible. James chapter 4, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, look with me. Draw nigh to God. What did Daniel and the three boys do? They drew nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's exactly what these four young men did. They drew nigh to God. We have a promise in Psalm 18:20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. God rewards faithfulness. In Philippians chapter 2, 13 through 15, before I start coming to the conclusion, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I ought not to hinder God's work in my life. God says, don't murmur and complain. I'm guilty of that. I failed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The life of a Christian is not a life of ease, but a life to please the Lord. These were young men of conviction and courage. It didn't matter if the fiery furnace, death, nope, you're not going to stop me. It didn't matter if it was a government decree saying you can't pray. Daniel didn't even, he had his window open. He didn't even close the windows and try to hide it in secret. Nope, he had the window open. I'm going to pray to God three times a day. I'm going to worship God God demands me to worship him, and I'm going to do it. And government decree or not, I'm not going to change. A firm commitment to the Lord was unwavering no matter what happened to their country. There was a lot of unrest in that nation. And that nation was reaping the consequences of God's wrath on that nation's wickedness. We're seeing injustices here and wickedness that I didn't think I would see in my lifetime. But I need to hold high the light of Jesus Christ. Circumstances do not dictate my faith. The Word of God and the indwelling Spirit of God, they are to be my light. They are to be my strength every day. And we need to commit in our heart to be a leader in courage and conviction. You will not move me. If God says it, it's done. If I'm not going to stand for right in the light, I won't stand for right in the dark when hard times come. We have to firmly resolve in our mind that I will not be persuaded to abandon the Lord when life gets more difficult. May the Lord be my ever-present guide. As I conclude this reading again, Romans chapter 8. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's my Lord. He still loves me. I'm still his. As I come to the time of invitation, my friend, as you think upon this, Romans chapter 8, particularly the latter portion of it, the Roman believers there to whom the letter was addressed. The Apostle Paul was trying to encourage and strengthen them and help them, giving them these verses, these truths from the inspiration of the Spirit of God, trying to lift them up, encourage their spirits. And my friend, it doesn't matter what's going on. If I look at circumstances of life and how everything has fallen apart or things I just can't control, I'll fall apart. But if I understand, if God be for us, who can be against us? God's going to be my strength. God's going to be my help. Daniel and those three other young men. God is for me. God's for me. I'm going to do right. We ought not to change with the winds of time. The culture of time ought not to change our belief that the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. The Bible says it's right, it's right. The Bible says do it, we ought to do it. Because God is to be my foundation. If anything else is my foundation, I will crack and I will break. And if we want to maintain a stability in our Christian life, we have to put God first in everything.